Good evening. My name is Brother Austin Wiggins, preacher from the Vider Church of Christ. We want to introduce our speaker, Brother Pugh. Brother Pugh is here with us, and Brother Pugh is going to come to us out of the book of 2 Thessalonians. So if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brother Pugh, without further ado, take it away.
Amen. God bless, and I thank all the brethren for the opportunity and God to be able to speak this portion of his word to you tonight. Tonight's lesson is entitled Pick, Choose, and Refuse. Pick, Choose, and Refuse. We live in such a time that, as you see, as choices, people have created choices today. You know, choices that God, that never entered into God's heart. God made you who you are and who you are to be. And man, therefore, comes up with new inventions. Well, so much so, not only with those new inventions of who you want to be in life, you know, it's funny how you can pick what gender you want, but therefore you can't pick what finance bracket you want to be under. Why? Because your bank account tells you that, and the bank and everyone else that connected to that bank account would tell you the same. But today, we look at this choice that we have. God has made us all free moral agents, free moral beings to decide, to choose, and to refuse everything that has been put forth to us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. The scripture reads, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." I think that first statement right there speaks to the time that we're in, lawlessness. Iniquity in the King James is what that word means, lawlessness. You don't want to, man does not want to be under God's rule. And the verse continues on, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perished because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." This evening, I stopped by to let you know that the truth, John 17, verse 17, the scripture says, "Sanctify or set them apart through thy truth, thy word is truth." The truth is incontrovertible, meaning it is indisputable, absolute, irrefutable, a sure thing. You know, if I told you, if you ran into that brick wall, yeah, it is going to do some damage to you, and you can't proceed through it if you ran through that thing on your own two feet. And you say, "Well, you know what? I'm just going to disregard what you say, and I'm going to run through that brick wall." But guess what? Truth is truth. You will soon find out when you make contact with that wall. Also, in regards to truth, that it with it being incontrovertible, it, malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it. But in the end, there it is. By the end of this sermon, I hope that you pick the truth, side with God, choose eternal life, and refuse erroneous teachings delivered to you by mankind. My first point tonight is rejecting God's word leaves you on the path to destruction. The Bible is logical. We see that we have a creator. That creator is a designer, and therefore he put forth that plan, and he created all that we are and all that we survey and we experience in this life. You know, I think about, you know, you wouldn't give credit if you don't give credit to your cell phone that it just fell out of the sky and it came with all its electronical components and working and the connectivity to towers and all these things. You don't think that that just came about, but you have people who call themselves atheists that walk around and say such things about themselves, about life, and about everything that goes on around us. And that's illogical.
in coming away from the Word of God, if you do not follow the Word of God, guess what? It makes you illogical. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, just to show you how our Creator loves His creation, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope." This is from the New King James Version. I never really understood that passage until having children myself. As a father, you know the thoughts that you think towards your children, even though when they may say, well, you know what, those restrictions or maybe, you know, the freedom that you don't allow me to have as other kids, you know, that don't have a parent to guide them and show them the way, you know, maybe sometimes we don't understand that as a child. But the thing is, in understanding this passage, God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, and to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, lets me know that if I'm going to follow my own heart, as the world says, you know, the world says, follow your heart, don't follow God. You're big enough and bad enough to do whatever you like to do. And many take that to heart, and they follow their own way. They chart their own path in life. But you know what the sad thing is? Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the scripture says the heart, which is the mind of man, meaning that where your seat of reason is. God is not talking about that blood thumper. But he says the heart of man, and guess what? Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So if I'm trying to be my own guide, that's not a wise thing. That's why the Lord even reminds us in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways you acknowledge him. How do I acknowledge God? I want to check the book to see if the action that I'm getting ready to take, is it according to God's will? The worship that I extend on Sunday, is this according to Scripture? Is this what God has ordered? You know, it's a sad thing today. We had a great lesson Sunday, how we just talked about how, you know, Sunday was high noon for the world. That was a high day of worship. They call it Easter Sunday. When, you know, and then many people at that time, they would take communion or they would participate in some type of Lord's Supper event. But God's word tells us how to take the Lord's Supper, that we are to remember the 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 30, that we are to remember his death. Guess what? Every time that we come together. And when do we come together? On the first day of the week. And we are to participate in that Lord's Supper, examining ourselves to make sure that we are right to partake of that. But rejecting God's word leaves you on the path to destruction, verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 10 says that, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Brothers and sisters, friends and guests, I'll tell you, God's word has stepped on my toes before. And guess what? I still allow God's word to step on my toes. If they're in the wrong place, God straightened me out. But many today, when they come to the word of God, you know what they do when they see something that doesn't line up with what they're teaching or what they've been taught? They rather side with man than with God. Makes you think of that statement where, remember when the leader of the synagogue believed the Lord. And he and many others, but then the Bible records that, guess what, that they, because they didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue, they loved the praise of men rather than the praise of God. My thing is, brothers and sisters, friends and guests, we should always have a mind, a heart, to receive praise, to look for the praise of God and reject the world. Many times at the congregation here in Syracuse where I preach, I've extended many times the statement, I'd rather stand with God and be judged by the world than to stand with the world and be judged by God. You know, many people, they love a good party, a group of friends, and what have you. My thing is, if God is my friend in this world, meaning I'm doing things that are pleasing and acceptable in his sight, Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? I want to agree with God. I want to walk with him. Why? Because his counsel and his judgment is the one that matters in the end. But rejecting God's word leaves you on a path to destruction. The ones involved in the great apostasy through this chapter of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know, they have turned, you know, apostasy is a desertion from God's word and a departure from the faith. And they are personified here as the man of sin in verse 3. Verse 7 says iniquity is lawlessness, which in turn is sin. Why? 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 says, whoever commits sin commits lawlessness or iniquity. And sin is iniquity or lawlessness. We know what lawlessness is. There's a rule, there's a regulation, but guess what? We go beyond it, or we don't abide by it. You know, my right hand in front of my house, the speed limit is about 40 miles an hour on this road. And it's a very long straight road, probably about a good 5 or 6 miles of this straight road. And you know what? Sometimes people get out there and they violate that law. But in that violating of the law, guess what? Police have stopped people and give them some big tickets going out there. And the thing is that those laws are put in place to protect the public, to protect those that would be commuting on that road, or maybe even children that may be playing near it. And the same thing with us. When we commit sin, it's a disrespect to the law of God. That's why we should always have a repentant heart, a heart ready to say, Lord, I see the error of my ways, and I want to do better. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, in this same chapter, says, this is the children, and this is the children of God. The children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. You know, I'm reminded, you know, people speak a great message and they'll say, well, the Lord put it on my heart to tell you today. Or they'll speak very boldly about their love for Jesus. But when it comes down to their actions, you say, hey, what have you done to be saved? What did you do? Or matter of fact, many of the modern practices that we see today in worship among mankind, guess what? These are foreign to the New Testament. God says sing. And you look at Ephesians chapter 5 and the verses 19, the Bible clearly tells us that, guess what? We are to sing unto the Lord, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in where? In your heart, which is your mind, to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. But you know what the world says today? Let's turn Sunday into, you know, it's entertainment every time that people gather together. We got the best band players. We have the best choirs. We have the best solo artists. All these things. And you know what God says? No, we are to give forth praise and worship and honor unto him. Guess what? Together in that congregation, in that assembly. And the Bible clearly says that we are to sing and not to play an instrument. If that was the case, guess what? We all would have to play an instrument. Also, God says baptism is necessary. But the world says, you know what? Just receive him in your heart and you will be saved. You will be all right. The scriptures clearly let us know that baptism is that which is ordained by God for the cleansing of one's soul. I think about our Lord and Savior when he met John the Immerser, John the Baptizer, who was baptizing, and the Pharisees and Sadducees were sitting there just you know, gawking, seeing what he was doing, and John warned them, oh, you generation of vipers who have warned you from the destruction that is to come. The Lord comes to John. He says, John, I want you to baptize me. And John says, Lord, I'm not even worthy to unbuckle or unfasten your sandals. And the Lord, who was without sin and never committed a sin, but the Lord says, you know what, John, I need you to do this. He says, suffer it to be so that we must fulfill all righteousness. What was the Lord talking about? Guess what? The word came from the Father, and he was abiding by it. I'm reminded in John chapter 12, verse 48. The scripture says, and here's the Lord speaking, says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So when the Lord says, John baptized me, guess what? He said, this didn't even come from me. This comes from the Father. And to reject the Father or to reject baptism is rejecting the Father's command. I'm reminded, as the scriptures say, many people exalt many of their leaders and mankind over the word of God. I just want to remind you this evening, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25 tells us that having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Remember that word that was used in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. It says it's a seed that we're born of. It's a seed that we need to germinate and take root in our lives. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 tells us this, and guess what? Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now I ask you this evening, are you rejecting the word of God, or are you following what man says? You know, you can't have it both ways. And I'm reminded that we can't serve two masters. We are to, because God says, guess what? You're either going to love one or you're going to hate the other. So my thing is, I seek forth all the time to serve God. My brother, the Apostle Paul, says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, who do I seek to persuade? Do I seek to persuade God or man? If I seek to persuade God, guess what? I am not a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. We need to continually be seeking to please God, because at any time we deviate from that plan, we've deviated from God. So in baptism, God calls for us to be baptized, to be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, covered up. But the world today says, guess what? Receive him in your heart. Or just, you know, lay your hand on your radio. Matter of fact, I just spoke about a coworker of mine that told me that she went to Colorado, and in Colorado visiting her daughter, she went to this mega church there. She said, at that mega church, here's the new thing that they're doing. She says a big number comes up on the this big jumbotron behind the minister. The lights are lowered into the area where they're meeting. All of a sudden, he begins to speak, and he says, you know what? If you want to receive Jesus Christ tonight, he says, text to the number that is behind me. People begin, their phones begin lighting up in the auditorium. They're texting to the number, and the minister makes a statement of saying that, oh, he says, I see so many are coming to the Lord tonight, and what a blessing that is. That's a sad thing that now he don't even require, at least in my mother's day, it was lay your hand on the radio or repeat the sinner's prayer. Here, they're telling people to text the phone number and things that are foreign to the Bible in regards to salvation. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27 tells us that we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you that have been baptized, immersed into Christ in that watery grave of baptism, many of us that have obeyed that, guess what? We are the children of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 through 12 says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12 of Colossians chapter 2 says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. I tell you this evening, if you've been in any place and they've been telling you that you've been saved thus far and you have not put the Lord on in the watery grave of baptism in his body, which is his church, that's where you're going to come in contact with the blood of Christ. If you have not done that, guess what? You have been deceived. And getting to the point of the church in regards to salvation. The Bible clearly states that the body is the church, and the church is the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, this statement and this claim is made, and in many other passages in the Word of God. I ask you this evening, if someone came, you went to a doctor's appointment, and you're sitting in the waiting room, and they call you back, and then the doctor says, guess what, we're going to draw some blood, and we'll get you your results. And you start rolling up your sleeve, your sleeve, and all of a sudden the doctor says, you know what, you can put your sleeve down. I'm going to send the nurse out there into the waiting room. There's many bodies out there that we can draw from, and we'll draw from one of those people that are waiting for a visit, and we'll get you your results in 3 days. You would say, no, you're not. I'm not going to take the results from somebody else. You can't get the results from me, from my body, from someone else. The same thing today. We have many bodies that have been created by man. There's the Methodist body. There's a Baptist body. There's a Pentecostal body. There's a Mormon body. There's a Jehovah's Witness body. There's a Presbyterian body. There's a Catholic body. There's many other bodies you can just continue to go down and you can name. And guess what? You can't come in contact with the blood of Christ through someone else's body. You have to go to his body to get his blood. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 reads, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him, verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is the head before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, a definite article, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Verse 24 of the same chapter of Colossians chapter 1 says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, then fill up that which is behind all the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Brothers and sisters, friends and guests, don't let Satan tell you that, hey, you have a choice of where you can receive the blood of Christ from and enter into that watery grave of baptism to receive that. God has already said, guess what? The Lord's blood is in his body. That was proven on the cross of Calvary when that Roman spear pierced his side. I think about all that our Lord and Savior went through, all that the Father has done for mankind. I always remind the congregation where I'm at that love is doing what is best for the object of one's affection. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, that the Father, he didn't just look from heaven, and the Lord, he didn't just look from heaven and just say, well, that's our creation, and we hope they get it right. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave, he did something. In this manner, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did something. He gave us his Son. He gave us the best heaven had to offer, and Christ gave us his all. He gave his ears to the lies and the dirty speech that was thrown towards him. Matter of fact, when they took him out of that Garden of Gethsemane, they blindfolded him, took him into the palace by night, and they punched him and spat upon him, and they said, hit him with reeds. And the Bible records that they said, if you be the Son of God, prophesy and tell us which one of us hit you. From that, they mocked him, they ridiculed him, they spat upon him, they snatched, they did everything they could to humiliate our Lord. He even went to that cross of Calvary with at that moment he had peace in his heart. He even tells the Father, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even saves the man who was on the cross with him, telling him, today you will be with me in paradise, thinking about others. Looking down from that cross, he says to the disciple whom he loved, the Apostle John, he says, Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. The Lord gave everything he had on this earth away in death for you and I. And all he asks you this evening for you to do is obey his will. The Bible clearly tells us in Romans 10, verse 17, I will not leave this message without giving you the opportunity to obey the will of God. Romans 10, 17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. You heard his message. Do you believe that word of God? That guess what? You can't serve God with the inventions of man today. You need to obey the will of God through what the word describes and what the, how the word guides us. In the hearing that word of God, do you believe that message? John 8, verse 24, Jesus says, except you believe that I am he, you will all likewise perish. Jesus even records, he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. In that belief, it also produces repentance. Repentance is seeing what the world has taught you, what you've been doing erroneously, and now you say, hey, Lord, I want to do things your way, and I'm going to forget all that stuff, and I want to learn your way. Repentance, Luke 13, 3, the Lord says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. In that repentance, you make that faithful confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Matthew 10, verse 31 and 32 says that if we confess, he said, the Lord says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. In that confession, we then go down to the into the watery grave of baptism. That is where we have our sins washed away. That is where the Lord adds us to his church. And guess what? We come up out of that water with a clean slate, a new creature before our Creator. And we are now a child of God. And the Lord, he places you in his church. After coming through that watery grave of baptism, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, we then are commanded to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, who is blessed forever and ever, 2 Peter 3 and verses 18. In growing in grace and knowledge, we are to live steadfastly, faithfully to God unto death, and he'll give us that crown of life, Revelation 2 and verses 10. This evening, I pray something has been said that will encourage you to grow closer to God, to understand his will more clearer. And if you not, if you have not obeyed the will of God, I pray something has been said that will that seed will germinate in your mind tonight, continue with you, and get you to reach out to a brother or sister in the Lord's body so that you can obey his will before it's everlasting too late. Once again, I thank you for this time that has been allotted to me, and I thank you for the brethren and sisters who support this gospel call and have allowed this to be a part tonight, and I thank you for my time.